Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell, and we are just minutes after WWE Raw went off the air. It was the go-home show for WWE Fastlane, and I thought the did some good in the very closing minutes of the show, the big brawl at the end of the show, after really not doing much of anything to get me excited about Roman Reigns against Daniel Bryan coming up on Sunday at Fastlane. We'll have live coverage of that show, of course, at ProWrestling.net. My coverage begins with the kickoff show at 6 p.m. We found out the kickoff show is going to feature The Miz and Paul Heyman, so at least there's that, with Paul Heyman side of that at least should be fun. And then we also found out the tag titles will be defended, as expected, the Usos against Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. And we also found out it's official. You can, there's no such thing as under duress in WWE. If you force someone to sign a contract, apparently they have to honor it, even though there's heel authority figures. You'd think they could step in and say, no, 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 that's ridiculous. That doesn't count. But Dean Ambrose made Bad News Barrett sign his contract, and so the match is official for the Intercontinental Championship at Fastlane. A lot to talk about tonight with Fastlane, of course, coming up. Anything pro wrestling related that you would like to discuss, the number to do so is 773-897-6321. Again, this is ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell, and we will be here for at least 60 minutes. Sometimes we stick around a little bit more. We'll see what's on your guys' mind tonight. We are going to start with 630-630. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
It's Craig from Chicago. How you doing?
Doing good, Craig. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, man, so much to go through here. I'll try to condense all this. First of all, the opening segment with John Cena made me extremely embarrassed to be a pro wrestling fan. That was
why?
Just
because
opening.
You've seen it before?
It made me cringe just hearing him talk like that, and just made me embarrassed for especially when he went up there and he's laying those punches in the Rusev, and the way the camera is just shaking away every time he throws a punch in there, it just made me cringe watching it. It was like watching a ridiculously horrible cartoon. I guess I'm just an old traditionalist. I like to see my professional wrestling or sports entertainment brought to me the way it's always been. And, who knows, maybe I'm getting to be a crotchety old fart now, but I don't know.
You don't want to turn on WWE Raw and feel like Bourne Identity broke out, because, that's kind of the camera technique they're going with.
Right, right. I mean, it just seems stupid to me, And like I said, I've always said, I love watching this. This is, it's one of my favorite things to watch. But
well,
I don't want
as far as the promo itself went, Craig, the promo itself, here's the thing. It's nothing we haven't heard from John Cena before. Anytime you hear, my name is John Cena, it's like, okay, I know where this is going. I've heard this all before. He's going to play the card that people have been, fans cheer him, fans boo him, and people have been waiting for him to, basically implying that will he turn or will he not. And they even had the dramatic shot above his shoulder of WrestleMania, like, ooh, are they foreshadowing a John Cena heel turn at WrestleMania? And it's just like, whatever. That's kind of that's the feeling I had watching it. Was I've heard this all before from John Cena, but I didn't mind the angle itself of him getting the better of Rusev. My first thought is, okay, you're taking away all heat from the heel going into the pay-per-view, but they really did play it up as the idea is don't miss this show, because it's not so much about the U.S. championship. That's an afterthought. It's about seeing if John Cena can be the first guy to beat Rusev.
Right. Well, it's not going to do anything if he does beat him, so I could care less about that match. Really, I could care less about any match that John Cena's in, to tell you the truth. He's just not my cup of tea, but I'll move on to the Daniel Bryan Roman Reigns thing. And what I'm kind of fearing is that Daniel Bryan's going to make Roman Reigns look like $1 million in that ring, at Fastlane. And Vince is going to probably be thinking to himself, well, see, I told everybody, he's ready. I just don't know. I saw You see Daniel Bryan, who was very entertaining with the announce crew during Reigns' match. Why didn't Reigns get on the headset and do some talking? Well, I guess we know the answer to that already, but, you know.
Hey, I don't mind. You know, yeah. At this point, you got to protect the guy. You know, I mean, they've made the decision they've made. You got to stick with it. Protect the guy as much as you can.
It's a Bret Hart, Tom McGee situation all over again many years later, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, I just don't really care to see a triple threat at WrestleMania. I'd rather see – I'd probably be much more entertained seeing the crowd crap all over the main event if Roman Reigns is in there than I would if it was a triple threat. So, but, I mean, I'll give it to Daniel Bryan. I think the guy's $1 million, man. He was $1 million tonight on that headset with the announce crew, so – Yeah, it is. You know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, it is what it is, I guess.
Anything else on your mind tonight?
You know, those financials. I think it was earlier this week, right? Or last week?
Last week.
When, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. You'd call me crazy on this one. I wouldn't be surprised if sometime soon, maybe in the next couple of years, we possibly see an investigation for fraud on the WWE for misrepresenting their financial situation. You know, I just don't buy some of the crap I was hearing. I don't buy the subscriber, you know, the subscriber rate, you know.
The count?
Yeah, the count. I don't buy it for some reason. I don't know.
Okay.
It just seems like, you know, because I look at it like, you know, we all know the Pontiac Silverdome at WrestleMania 3. It was not 93,000 fans. It was 70,000. I just think that he's a promoter, and he's always overhyping, you know, over-exaggerating things, and I just have a funny feeling that's what he's been doing here.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Let me address this one. I guess I'll start there with the network. The difference is they are a publicly traded company. I mean, numbers, attendance numbers get inflated all the time. I mean, that happens in all of sports. It's different when you're talking about business numbers like this. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they have to play it pretty straight with their attendance figures. I don't know. I mean, since the with the launch of the stock, maybe there's some fudging there. But when it comes to the numbers, the only thing you worry about there is, okay, what are they considering a subscriber? Is a subscriber someone who's paid? Is it someone who signed up for a free month but hasn't paid a dime? That's the only thing that I think they could be a little more clear on. If anything, they're paranoid right now because they do have class action lawsuits filed against them because people did think they were being overly optimistic with some of their numbers at one time. And, it, I mean, I thought they should have done a better job of making it clear that these are not so much projections, but, hey, if everything works out in a really rosy way, this is what we could do. I thought they failed there, but I didn't hear anything on Thursday that made me feel like, wow, this company is really going overboard, and they need to step back and remember this isn't Vince McMahon promoter. This is Vince McMahon business owner talking to Wall Street. I didn't hear it this time around. For those of you who aren't sure what he's referring to with Bret Hart and Tom McGee, McGee was just a very, you know, green guy, I believe bodybuilding background, and Bret Hart carried him to such a good match that suddenly Vince McMahon thought he had like this, the next big thing on his hands. And then he worked with people other than Bret Hart and did not have anything going for him in the ring and was just, you know, completely flamed out. So just for those who don't know that story, I thought I'd bring you guys up to speed there. But he threw a lot at us there, but let's keep working our way through the calls here. Up number two, and damn it, we better not hear more about Ray Stevens this week. Rabbit, anything other than Ray Stevens? Nothing against the man, but two shows in a row you've told us about Ray Stevens. What's going on tonight, Rabbit?
Oh, my computer's out, so I got to watch a show tonight, but I haven't been online for a couple of days. But anyhow, I want to ask you something. The John Cena thing. According to WWE tradition, if it still works. Would you agree that whatever happens on Raw, the tradition is the opposite happens at the pay-per-view, which would mean John Cena beat the hell out of Rusev, so Rusev wins at the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I had that in my report tonight, yeah. That's my guess. It doesn't always hold true, but a lot of times you can kind of see the booking pattern, the booking logic, and that would be my guess. I mean, if Cena is going to beat Rusev, and I really don't think that's the right move if I'm WWE, gives John Cena a moment at WrestleMania, but what else? I mean, great, another moment for John Cena, and probably doesn't even rank in his top 10 at WrestleMania. Maybe top 10, I can't even remember how many he's been in, but he doesn't rank in his top 5. It's... What does it do for WWE going forward? That's why I wouldn't do it. But if he's going to beat Rusev, I think it does happen at Mania. And so, I guess I don't think it happens at Fastlane anyway. I don't know if they give Rusev a win to kind of play into this John Cena's over the hill thing they have going or exactly how they'll approach this. But, I don't believe that John Cena is going to pin Rusev or make him submit at Fastlane.
Okay, another question. Ric Flair tonight. When Nate came out, do you think at Fastlane, we'll see Triple H the wrestler, or are we going to see Triple H the authority figure against Sting? Because it's Triple H the wrestler that's going to be confronting Sting. Do you think it'll be a Pier 6 brawl?
Well, that's a good question, Rabbit. I don't know how they approach this because I think less is more with Sting, certainly from a talking standpoint, and I would even say physicality. I would try to keep those two. I guess if it were me booking it, I wouldn't have any physicality. I would keep it as simple as Triple H gets to shoot his mouth off and Sting stands there and just stares at him. And, intensely, not just blank stare, but just stares at him intensely. And when Triple H is everything's all said and done, he just takes his trusty baseball bat and he points at, jabs Triple H in the shoulder and then points at the WrestleMania sign. But they may have a different approach to it. I don't know if it's going to be an all-out brawl. But, what you're going to see on Sunday, it's not the authority guy as much as it is Triple H, the guy setting up a WrestleMania match, if that makes any sense, Rabbit.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because Triple H, the wrestler, is a different person than Triple H, the authority figure, because Triple H, the wrestler, can kick ass. The other one can't. The authority figure is a stooge.
Well, what did you think you saw tonight?
The stooge, he wasn't Triple H, the wrestler. He didn't sound like Triple H, the wrestler. He didn't come off as Triple H. He came off more like the authority figure character he's playing. He just did not come off anywhere near like Triple H that everybody knows and loves.
Okay, but Rabbit, he's a heel right now, and he's about to face Sting, so it's not like there's any kind of a turn coming. He's a heel. He is playing a character on television right now, and the authority... I think it makes sense the way he's approaching it. I mean, and then look at it from Triple H's perspective. Do you want to go out there and make it, you're the king of kings and you're all this, and mean it like he would if he was a babyface going over? Yeah, he's probably going to lose to Sting at WrestleMania. So I think it makes sense that there's a little bit of, what Ric Flair was talking about. Don't take this guy lightly, Hunter being offended, but at the same time, Sting's in his head. That's the message they were trying to send tonight, is Triple H is off his game, no pun intended, because of what Sting has done to him. He's in the mind games he played with him last week.
Yeah. Now, on the Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, okay, give me your opinion. Who's the face? Who's the heel?
Well, I think they go in kind of right down the middle. I think I think Daniel Bryan gets cheered. If there's a turn here, if one guy comes out of this show a heel, I think it's Roman Reigns. Somebody asked that in Q&A recently, and I gave it a 10% chance that Daniel Bryan turns, and that's only because they were crazy enough to make him a Wyatt family member once. I don't think there's any need. I don't think there's any reason to turn Daniel Bryan. Roman Reigns, well, if you kind of give up on him as a babyface and you think putting him with Paul Heyman's the answer and Brock Lesnar as a babyface, at least I can come up with a scenario. But my guess remains going into this that it's going to be, you may see some heel tendencies during the match, but when at the end of Fastlane, I think both guys come out of it as babyfaces.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I just wasn't sure because when I saw that, I was thinking, who's the heel, who's the face? And, it's the first thing that came to my mind when that fight broke out at the end. And I was going to say, I figured it would be Roman Reigns because I just can't see them turning Daniel Bryan heel.
That's just it. I don't think they will, but like I say, hey, they put him in the Wyatt family, if you remember that one, Rabbit, and that was... It was like, what are they doing? And, they haven't always done right by Daniel Bryan when it comes to booking. Really, it's not even so much that they haven't done right by him. It's they haven't done right by their own company. I mean, this guy is so over, or was, at one time. He's still over, but, I mean, you just see it now. People are chanting, yes, it's not with the same passion, across the board where everyone in the building is chanting it at all times like it was. And some of this is, a lot of it is just the way they booked him. They've really dropped the ball here. They did a good job of getting it on track in February, February and March, and then obviously in April for WrestleMania last year. And then he got hurt, and they weren't even doing a good job coming out of Mania. For God's sake, they were feuding with Kane, who really needs to take a reduced role on television, Rabbit. Just the level of hatred from people on Twitter, and, well, a combination of hatred and apathy when it was the two big matches announced. Roman Reigns against Kane and Big Show Daniel Bryan. It was like no one wanted to see those matches.
Oh, yeah, but even worse than that, what about Big Show? When Andre the Giant was around, at least Andre was a special attraction. You got to see him once a year in your local arena. He wasn't around all the time. Big Show, they played him out. He's been heel face. One week he's this, one week he's that. He's not a special attraction anymore. I mean, Big Show, when he first came into WCW, he was skinny. And he could move. He could go off the top rope. He could do all kinds of flips. He was wonderful in WCW. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I mean it's been a combination of overexposure and bad booking. In the territory days, he'd be a guy that would be making a lot of money because the act would get stale. He'd move on to the next territory and be a big deal there. But, I mean, they don't have that luxury. But I still think they could have done a better job of protecting him. And certainly all the heel babyface turns. David Otunga or Corey Graves, one of them on the pre-show tonight, even made a comment about, in so many words, how indecisive Big Show is. They're basically saying this guy turns all the time, which is like, yeah, exactly. No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing on the pay-per-view other than maybe a couple matches that really stand out to, make you want to watch it. And if I didn't have a network, I wouldn't pay the money to see it. But since I pay my $9.95 every month, I watch it. I'll watch it. But I wouldn't go out of my way to see Big Show. Not for nothing. I get bored. I like the skinny Big Show, like I say, who could go off the top rope and do flips.
I don't know how many flips he did back in the day, Rabbit, but, I mean, he was certainly an agile guy for his size. But, I mean, it's time catches up. I wouldn't want to see Big Show out there doing moonsaults or anything in 2015. But point taken. I know what you're saying. It's just... They really have done a poor job with it. If you want to join us tonight, we do have a long list of callers already on hold, but you can try to get in 773-897-6321. I'm Jason Powell. This is ProWrestling.net Live, and you can listen every Monday night, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern Time at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDotNet. If you're listening to this live, you're going, well, we know that. We're listening now, dummy. Well, there's people that listen on delay. And so it's a little heads up for them, kind of like I criticized WWE for, like, you're advertising the network on the network, and it's not, like, they did it during NXT, and I don't know how many people, like, got together into the communal viewing habit for NXT, but at least now you know what my logic is on this. I'm not always sure what theirs is. Let's keep rolling through the calls, though. Up next is 678. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Okay, Jason, this is you.
What's up?
This is Ron D calling from Atlanta, Georgia. What's going on, man?
Hey, not too much.
Okay, I was done watching the show, it seems like Fastlane is trying to get itself right on its own track. Now I've been hearing something about Sting and Triple H. My point of view to this point is the game needs to get himself back on track, because it seems like it's like doing classic Undertaker mind games when it comes to Sting.
All right. Any questions tonight? We got a ton of people, so I can't chat for too long. But if you have some questions, I can answer those quick.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. Now I don't know what's going on with the John Cena and Russo thing, but it seems like John Cena is trying to get himself back to his type of stuff, like 2002 debut stuff, like his Ruthless Aggression thing with Kurt Angle, but now doing the same thing with Russo right now.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold for that. I mean, I guess it would make sense, because that's the last time John Cena cared about the U.S. Championship, and suddenly he wants that. He told us as much in a recent promo, that he just kind of portrayed that title as that little thing that he won early in his career, like it didn't mean anything to him. And now, all of a sudden, he's challenging for the U.S. Championship. It's you can't make it up. I'm surprised that they're putting the title on the line. I wonder if the plan is for Rusev to win here, and then at WrestleMania, because he already beat Cena, he doesn't have to put his title on the line. So he loses, but he keeps the title, because I don't think they have any interest in John Cena carrying around the U.S. Championship. 262, you're up next. Who are you, and where are you calling from?
Mark from Wisconsin.
Hey, what's going on?
How much are you?
I'm just plowing through the evening, man.
Yeah. You know, maybe I'm a little too optimistic, you know, for an internet fan, but I have very, very little doubt that Daniel Bryan's going to be part of the WrestleMania main event. I don't know if it's going to be a triple threat. I don't know if it's going to be one-on-one, but he's main evented every show since the Royal Rumble, and I don't know how you can take that guy and then just put him in the fifth or sixth match from the top against Sheamus or Dolph Ziggler. It just seems like they booked him where he kind of has to be in that match.
Do you care as much this year as you did last year?
Yes and no.
Okay.
On some level, but I think Daniel Bryan's good enough, and Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman especially are good enough that comes to it, they can make me forget about, you know, the very, let's say, not great way we got here, and they can make me really kind of excited about that match. Because I think on paper, you know, Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, I'm much more excited for that than I was Daniel Bryan versus Triple H or Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton and Batista.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I think if we get through Sunday, I think there, you know, you get Paul Heyman involved again, you begin the build. I think they're going to be able to get me looking forward to Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar, if that's what the match is. For that matter, I think it's Paul Heyman. Now, there's going to be a letdown factor for Daniel Bryan fans again if he's not in this match, and it is Reigns against Lesnar. But we saw just a taste of how that can be produced the night they were snowed in, and I liked that. I'm not ruling out the triple threat that's been rumored. I think that it's the safe bet going into Mania, because then you have Reigns in there, which is a guy Vince wants, and then you have obviously Daniel Bryan, who a lot of fans want. I still question whether they're as into this as they were a year ago. But then also, there's some mystery. Let's say, just worst case scenario for WWE, Brock Lesnar is going back to UFC. If word leaks that he's leaving, well, at least then there's some mystery. And it's not just does Seth Rollins cash in at the end of the night. There's some mystery as far as who wins the actual match itself.
Yeah. Agree. This is a question I wanted to ask last week, but I was looking at your, you know, top stories of 2014 list, and,
yeah,
you know, just WWE, you know, there was, you know, the network, which I think is the biggest story in 10 years, probably more than that. You know, Undertaker losing the streak, Bryan, you know, Batista getting rejected, CM Punk leaving. Even if CM Punk hadn't left the way he left, him going to UFC is a huge story. And, you know, two stories of him kind of get, you know, ignored in all of this, that I think in a normal year would be huge, or, you know, Sting finally going to WWE and Alberto Del Rio leaving the way he did. Can you remember a year where there were... Can you remember a year where there were this many, like, kind of major news stories?
You know, it's so fresh. I mean, it is definitely a big year. We knew that going in with the network launch and things like that, and a lot of things popped up that we didn't expect. Yeah, I mean, in a way where it felt like in some ways wrestling popularity went down, but yet there was a lot going on all at the same time. Some of it, you know, a lot of it negative, too. Not just, you know, I mean, the network was a positive, I think, by and large. It got people excited. The Daniel Bryan story unfolding was a positive, I think, by the time everything was said and done. And then the negative of Daniel Bryan and his roller coaster ride. Then you have TNA and the uncertainty there. I mean, you're looking at the top five, and we actually had, a list of 19 possibilities, and then people could write in other. So, yeah, I mean, it's just WWE, no surprise, finished all in the top five just because of their popularity. But there were a lot of options available that weren't just WWE. But, yeah, it was 2014 was a wild year, that's for sure.
I mean, I was trying to, before I asked this question, I was like, thinking about what the top story 2013 was. Like, I couldn't remember it. I don't know. I'm sure, you know, there was a major news story 2013, but, it didn't come off the top of my head and, you know, kind of said something, right?
Well, you know what? If you're like me, you can barely remember 2013. I just have a horrible memory, so I'm looking it up now. It was Daniel Bryan's rise to the WWE pay-per-view main event status. And then the network unofficially revealed, because they didn't technically announce it in 2013,
okay.
You know, that kind of thing. So, 2003, when you look at for just big news stories, 2013 was way down compared to 2014, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I actually kind of like the Dean Ambrose way better thing. Like, I get all the issues with it, but when Ambrose was, you know, at his peak, it seemed like, you know, there was that old saying, you know, there's a thin line between genius and insanity, and he seemed to toe that line, whereas, you know, the last couple months he kind of been way on the insanity end of that, and tonight it seemed like he kind of skewed a little closer to that line, so, you know.
Okay, but I was just going to ask you, how insane is the guy that agrees to sit down and do a Saturday Night Live spoof?
that's I don't know what his real name is, but Jonathan something. I think that's his real name. Yeah, he needs to learn how to say no to bad ideas.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask him around. I'm curious to know, is this his vision, or is he just going along for the ride? I mean, I listened to his not too long ago. I was catching up on some of the podcasts I fell behind on. Really good interview that he did with Chris Jericho on his podcast, two-parter. And talking about back in the Shield days, they did reject a lot of ideas. You know, they had strength in numbers, and so the three of them could get together. And, you know, it wasn't like they were just absolutely positively not, but they could go in and state their case. And so I don't know if he still does that as a singles performer, if he's pulled back on some of that. But worst case scenario for me is, he's into this. He thinks this, you know, this is the vision he has for his character, because I think there's some flaws there.
Absolutely. Last thing, I think I heard someone suggest this, and I don't remember who, but, and it's one of those ideas that sounds completely insane on first blush, but, you know, this fall when, you know, there won't be a, you know, it's kind of a lull season, and, you know, network subscriptions will probably go down a little bit. Do you think there's any way, like, even, you know, anything beyond kind of the never say never of them doing a podcast, Steve Austin podcast, with CM Punk right before his UFC fight? Because it seems like it's one of those things that sounds completely insane, but Austin, of course, you know, be gonna go for it. I think the UFC would go along with it, but then, you know, to CM Punk and obviously the WWE, you know, it's the kind of thing that would, you know, seem to be really provocative and could, you know, get some network subscriptions.
All right, thanks for the call, Matt. I mean, good question. I don't know if they would be willing to expose themselves like that. I mean, you heard the things he said during the Colt Cabana podcast. This is CM Punk, you know, and I don't know that he's ever going to just agree to play ball, like, well, I'll give the sugar-coated version for you, something like that. A live podcast, CM Punk, I don't think they would. I think they would be very leery of what he would say, whether it's about the concussions and the doctor and the issues he had there, or his problems with Triple H. I mean, he raised a lot of issues and a lot of very valid concerns, or alarming issues, I should say, in some cases. And I just don't know that they want to play ball when it comes to that. I don't know if they would trust him to go out there and say what they would consider to be the right things. I don't know that they want their hardcore audience of WWE Network subscribers to hear a guy just go on there with Steve Austin and be completely unfiltered and say what he has to say. I would be shocked if they would do it. I think it would make for fascinating television on a number of levels, but seeing is believing on that one. I am Jason Powell. This is ProWrestling.net Live. Again, we're here every Monday, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern. Next week on the show, he was going to join me tonight. This is a classic story. My co-host will be the one and only Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com. He was scheduled to be here tonight, and then he sent me a text over the weekend. He couldn't do the show because he remembered he was going to this Raw. Raw was in Orlando tonight. That's Fritzy territory. I don't know how he forgot that he was going to the show, but he did. And he called me up laughing about it today. So he said I could take all sorts of shots at him. I think we'll just wait until we get him on next week so he can defend himself. But, yeah, he's just been rescheduled. Brian Fritz will be my guest co-host on ProWrestling.net Live. Looking forward to talking with him. And then .NET Weekly this week, the current plan is to have a newcomer, the new guy, John Moore, who's been doing a lot of the TNA Impact reviews for us and kind of filling in where I need him on Lucha Underground, and then he's been doing WWE Main Event. You guys may recognize him as Hollywood Johnny. He is going to do he's scheduled to be his first audio show. That'll be the .NET Weekly audio show, and we're going to preview the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view and discuss all the news of the week. That one will be available exclusively to .NET members, and great time to sign up for .NET membership to the ad-free version of the website. You get hours and hours of audio content. If you dig this show, trust me, you're going to dig all the audio we have available to you guys. TNA Impact covered in audio form, WWE SmackDown covered in audio form, .NET Countdown, which will be undergoing some sort of a name change with Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt, usually available Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere in that ballpark. The guys get together for an hour, and really always a good conversation. I'm curious to see what changes they make to the show. They just decided that they're kind of out of ideas for counting things down, and they want to kind of shake things up. So they're actually asking .NET members to help them rename the show. And I think we'll get a taste of whatever is to come starting this week. Looking forward to hearing that for myself. And then Zach Zimmerman covers the NXT television shows in audio form as well. So if you're familiar with Zach's print version of the show, it's available there every week for .NET members. Nobody follows NXT closer than Zach Zimmerman does. Excellent audios, excellent reviews, so be sure to check those out. And again, I mentioned the .NET Weekly audio show. Normally I do the Q&A audio shows on Monday. This week it got pushed back a little bit, but members get to submit their questions to me, both wrestling and non-wrestling. But I separate them. We do the wrestling first, and at the end of the show, big warning for people who don't want to hear me babble on endlessly about non-wrestling topics, but we have a lot of fun with that show, and usually every month, well, like I say, it's kind of a rotating schedule, but it averages a once-a-week kind of a deal, and I'll definitely be doing that at some point again this week. So just hours of audio content available on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone and you have our free app, once you sign up for membership, you can get all those perks of membership right there on your phone. Pretty cool deal. You can correspond with a great group of people in the .NET members forum. All the perks available right there on your iPhone or Android phone once you sign up for membership. If you are interested, all you have to do, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. You can't miss it. And for as little as $5.50 a month, if you take our annual option, you can enjoy all those perks that I mentioned. If you want to try us out for 1 month, maybe enjoy Fastlane and you're getting the network for free, send a little bit of that our way. I think I really am excited about what we've got going on the member side of things, and I think you will be too. $7.50 for 1 month of .NET membership. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. And then coming up on Tuesday, every Tuesday, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern, I will be joining Wade Keller at PWTorchLivecast.com. Wade and I will be taking your phone calls on that show. So if you're listening on delay, the late night stuff is just too much for you. You got work in the morning, you can't do it. Hey, there's your opportunity. 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern, PWTorchLivecast.com. All right, back to the phone lines. Up now is 515. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Jason. This is Neil in Des Moines.
Hey, Neil. What's going on?
Hey, I'm hoping. I thought tonight's RAW was okay, and the typical ending, you know, going into a pay-per-view. They did that well. But what I'm kind of hoping for is Ambrose and Cena to win those titles, you know, Intercontinental, USA, and put back some legitimacy to those, you know.
Hey, let me stop you there for just a second, because
okay.
I do agree with you that, hey, I like the legitimacy, but is Rusev not bringing any?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Fair enough, but go ahead. I don't think you were done talking. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. My main question is, do you have any insight at all whether WWE is going to get Brock back or what's it look like?
You know, at last check, and it's been, I don't know, a week and a half or so, I mean, it's one of those things where I think if WWE has their way, whether he's going or he's staying, they're not going to want us to know. So it's not like I don't know that information is going to come out. Now, Brock may not have the same perspective. If he's leaving, he may not mind letting the world know, yeah, he's going back to UFC. We'll see on that. But what I was told is that basically it's not a slam dunk he goes back to UFC. You know, that's kind of how people are thinking. If it were to come down to just strictly dollars and cents, okay, then it's UFC. But it doesn't sound like that's where it's at. I think Brock wants to be compensated well by WWE. I don't know that he wants to take punishment. I don't know that he wants to be hit repeatedly. I don't know that his wife wants him to go back to the UFC lifestyle. So, I mean, people close to him are just kind of I don't feel like at last check people close to him even knew exactly what the plan was, but they were still saying that WWE is in the game. And this was, you know, around the time, I would say, I guess a little bit before Triple H said what he said in the podcast interview. So it's not like I don't think the ship has sailed. I don't think it's just a done deal, a foregone conclusion that Brock goes back to UFC. But I would say that if any UFC fans are listening, I would think this is it. I mean, because he's only going to be another year older next time, and I think UFC would always have some interest there, but it just kind of feels like now's the time for Brock Lesnar. If I'm Brock, I try to get, and I want to stay in WWE, I use that leverage for all I can, and I try to sign a little bit longer deal even, rather than, you know, doing it the way he's done it, if it's a 1 or 2 year deal kind of thing, because I just don't know that he's going to have the same leverage next time. And likewise, if he were to leave WWE now for UFC, let's say he goes there, fights, you know, for a year's worth, and then wants to come back at next year's WrestleMania, I'm sure WWE would talk, but that leverage is gone. Because then it's like, okay, you know, assuming if he's lost both of his UFC fights, for instance, we'll just throw that scenario out. Well, what leverage does he really have? So this is a key contractual signing. You know, it's a key time in Brock Lesnar's career. This may be the last time he has all this leverage. I mean, Bellator may still be an option as he gets older, but I don't know that UFC is really going to for anything other than kind of a gimmicky fight. Because Lesnar's name carries some weight, but I think as far as him being seen as any type of legitimate player, I would think this is it.
Well, I thought originally there was no doubt he was going to UFC, but the more I read and the more I hear, he's really thinking about going to the WWE and sticking with them. And like you said, signing like a 2 or 3 year contract. I mean, why wouldn't you? With the schedule he has. And my only concern with that is, you know, how much money they're going to invest in him when, you know, the state of WWE, I guess, as far as finance goes. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, hey, they've got good numbers, you know, with the million mark. I mean, it's not perfect, but I think they're where realistically people expected them to be. Maybe they're about a month behind what my projection was. I thought they could reach 1 million by the end of 2014 if they were available in the UK and, you know, in just all those major markets, and they weren't yet. Once they got into the UK, they reached it. I think that milestone is something they can be pleased by, and they should go up, obviously, with WrestleMania time, and then it's kind of the great unknown after that. But it's so, I mean, the timing is good for Brock Lesnar from that standpoint, and really, I mean, he, if you look at it, they're having trouble with Daniel Bryan. They're having trouble with Roman Reigns as far as, like, right now, are those guys going into Fastlane as over as they should be? They're portraying John Cena, their number one babyface, is this old guy. They kind of pulled back on that tonight. It was nice to see that they did that. But, I mean, it's just there's a lot of questions. The one constant right now is that Brock Lesnar is over. Brock Lesnar means something. And so, I mean, he's positioned himself very well, and he's coming off one of his better matches in that triple threat at the Royal Rumble. So, I mean, it's just timing-wise, Brock is just in the right position at the right time. Again, it's amazing how he does this.
Yeah, and beating Taker last year, and I agree with your Cena comment, but I just, you know, I don't know what they're paying him. I got a feeling it's even more than what they pay Cena, and Cena's there every week, every night, every house show. Just be interesting if, you know, Vince wants to spend, you know, do you know what his contract was the last time, how much money, or...
I don't. I mean, it's been rumored. I would be surprised if he's making more than John Cena. I mean, I can't say he's not, but I would be surprised. I just would think John Cena's got more pride than that. You know, for a guy that really dedicated his life to WWE, I would think he would, you know, want to make damn sure he's the top-paid guy in that company.
I hope so. I hope so, because he's part-timers, you know. I enjoy him, especially love him when Jericho comes back and stuff, but, you know, you just... And going back to finding out if Lesnar's going to UFC, that was a Lesnar and Goldberg when they both knew they were leaving. Was that the matchup in WrestleMania where they?
Yeah, Lesnar Goldberg with Steve Austin as the referee.
Yeah, and everybody knew they were leaving. That was a debacle.
That's, you know, I don't think you have to worry about that if it's Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan. I don't think you necessarily have to worry about that if it's a triple threat. I think you do have to worry about that WrestleMania crowd potentially turning. I don't think there's going to be as much animosity with Brock Lesnar this time. I mean, who knows what gets said between now and then? Maybe things could change. But if everything is right now, I could see there being some issues more so because with the expectation that Roman Reigns is going to win and the fans at WrestleMania especially not liking that. That's where you have to watch out for that. But I thank you for the call. We do have just a ton of people on tonight. I want to get to keep rolling through. 304, who are you? And is it spinning here? Where are you from, 304?
Hey, Ben from West Virginia.
What's going on?
Not much. I had one question for you.
Yeah.
Back in November when Eric Rowan, he was like doing a stalker type gimmick there with some divas there for a little bit. Then out of nowhere, he joined up with Cena for the Survivor Series team. Was he just rushed into that as being a member of the team because Sheamus was injured?
Yes, that's my understanding. I was skeptical, too. I thought they had that planned, and I'm told, no, there was some issue with Sheamus that popped up, and it was a last-minute switch. And so, yeah, he was kind of rushed into that whole scenario.
So if it hadn't been for Sheamus getting injured, he'd still be doing the stalker gimmick, I guess.
I don't know where that was going. I mean, I kind of looked at it like they're making him the lovable simpleton, but then they made sure to show us, like, no, he's actually really smart, so he's just, like, the lovable genius who acts like a simpleton. I mean, remember they were telling us he played classical piano or guitar or something like that? He, like, was, like, this genius and... Boy, they've lost their way with him. I mean, he's in with that Dolph Ziggler-Ryback thing that they have going on, but I don't even see where that's going. That one's just kind of, they keep lumping them together because they were fired, and I don't really see any purpose for it. But I also go back to, why did they split up the Wyatt family? For the love of God, Luke Harper's out there again, and you know he's going to lose. It was a good competitive match. But I'm looking at Kane and Big Show all over my television lately, and I'm like, why couldn't this be Luke Harper, a new guy, where if you had built him up in a big way, maybe he would be over enough. Or God forbid, if the Wyatt family were still together, maybe you're seeing Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns feuding with Rowan and Harper, who had a pretty good tag team unit going together.
Oh, I agree. I love Harper. He's my favorite wrestler.
Cool.
But that's all I have for you, Jason.
Well, hey, I really appreciate you. Yeah, hey, I appreciate you calling in tonight, and nice and quick so we can keep rolling through here. Up next is 636. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Jason, it's Rambus from Missouri.
Hey, Rambus, nice to hear from you, man. What's going on?
Nothing. I want to pick your mind on two topics real quick, and I'll let you get back to things.
Sounds good.
One, I typically discuss with guys at work. They are down on the product right now, so they're always talking about how I should watch NXT. So I watch NXT every once in a while because it's a pretty darn good show, a lot of good wrestling on it. But I can't bring myself to get invested in the product because I know these guys are going to get called up and used horribly. What do you think about that? Like, do you ever get that feeling, like, but with Bo Dallas and the Ascension and everybody, it's just hard for me to invest in them.
No, I don't have that problem. I kind of like the journey of it all. I kind of like seeing, okay, what act do I think is going to work out on the main stage compared to which one actually does. I mean, yeah, they've swung and missed on a couple, but they've also hit on the Shield guys. They initially hit on the Wyatt family. And I mean, so it's not like it's been all bad. And I also just kind of enjoy it for what it is. It's a good one-hour television show with some off-the-charts live specials. I mean, there's some of the best independent talent in the world that's now been kind of brought under this single roof at Full Sail University, if you will. And so, yeah, I mean, they might get called up, but does it stop you from, like, watching Ring of Honor? Because in some ways, that served as a feeder system for the bigger companies over the years, too.
Fair enough. I guess my just worry is, like, so I've watched more regularly now that, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to all get called up, and I just feel like they'll get lost. Like, they'll be like, yeah, these are guys are from NXT, and we're going to push them to the moon. And then 6 months later, you've seen what's happened to the Wyatts, and you kind of see how a few, like, Dean Ambrose is kind of just out of whack. Who knows what he's doing? I don't know. It's just a fear I have because their booking is so all over the place.
Well, and another part of it too, Rambus, is a lot of these guys aren't exactly Vince McMahon size. You know, the you don't always say, that's why, like, when I see a guy like Baron Corbin, who a lot of people are just fans are kind of down on, I'm like, but look at the size and remember who's in charge. And also remember that he is a true developmental guy where he's in there on the same shows with world-class performers, you know, guys like Finn Balor and Hideo Itami and guys who've been around for all these years where this guy's making the transition from the NFL. And so I enjoy watching that, too. It's not just the standout lights-out performers that, you know, guys you know are have been there and done that. It's also just, you know, seeing some of the guys that don't have the lengthy indie background kind of come into their own as well.
I think that's fair, and I probably just need to be a little bit more patient with it, but, you know, you get passionate about this product, Jason.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and hey, that's a fun one to get passionate about. And I definitely recommend it to anybody that's like you. I say be a little more patient, or just anybody who's not checking it out for any reason. NXT's a blast. I mean, I was late getting on the bandwagon, too, just because, like, I'm busy with so many other things. And then all of a sudden they put it on the network, and it's like, oh, cool. All right, they've made it easier. It's not just a small audience watching on Hulu now. Let's go. And I've really enjoyed the hell out of it since I started watching it on a weekly basis. And I just, you know, enjoy, like I say, enjoy it for what it is, because if somebody gets called up, there's a chance that they might be the next, you know, Daniel Bryan or whoever. You know, you never know who it's going to be. And also, just enjoy it for what it is. You're going to see some good wrestling on a weekly basis, and you're going to see some great wrestling on these live specials.
One other thing that I noticed, which I pointed out in the .NET forum, which everybody should join, that Daniel Bryan and the Big Show is a nice little guy, big guy match. And I was thinking about how, like, Daniel Bryan was using kicks to the legs and whatnot, like technical things. And I was thinking, like, remember when small guy to big guy matches used to be really cool? And I thought that Bret Hart always did that really well. Like, I've been watching the network through the, you know, the old pay-per-views, watching him fight Diesel and The Undertaker and Sid and whatnot. And that's a match that you're just like, these two guys aren't going to get along very well. And Bret would just start working on the legs and make it a more technical match. And I used to think those big guy, small guy matches were always so cool. I don't get that same feeling now. And it could be because it was the Big Show, probably. But still, I just wish there was just more technicality with that. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do know what you're saying, and I think some of it is Big Show. It's a match I was looking forward to going in. I like everyone, I saw great Big Show and Kane in what are basically being cast as the main events of the show. But then I thought back and I remembered that when Daniel Bryan, we were buzzing probably last year at this time, all right, if he wins the championship and then what do you do with him after that? Big Show was a guy that I wanted to see him work with at some point. It wasn't like my dream opponent for him. But I just saw money in Daniel Bryan as the champion, still cast as kind of this underdog. You never know how long he's going to have it. Enjoy it while it lasts. And Big Show being one of those guys that at that time, you put Big Show in there and you can play up that whole David versus Goliath thing. And I thought Daniel Bryan would be a guy that could work that style of match well, and I think he does. Chris Benoit was always very good at that too, just kind of chopping the giant down to size slowly but surely. And I think if Big Show meant more and this were on a bigger stage, yeah, I think it would actually be a pretty – I mean, I didn't think tonight was a bad match. I just have so much apathy right now for Big Show and Kane that it's hard to stay focused. I hate to say this, but it's kind of what I go through when I watch TNA now, where it's like I just kind of catch my mind drifting. It's like, oh yeah, I gotta stay focused here, and because so much of that just feels like inconsequential because it was taped a month and a half ago, and with this, it's just it's Big Show and Kane. It feels inconsequential.
Yeah, it's very hard to invest just because like you look at Bret Hart and he would carry Diesel and not really carry Taker. Taker was pretty good back then, but carry those guys like 25-minute matches, and you're like, big guy, small guy, that makes no sense. And nowadays you're like, oh dear God, please not 25 minutes of this.
Right, exactly.
All right, that's all, man. You can have your show back.
All right, very cool. Always good to hear from you. That is .NET member Rambus. He had the, I believe, the shortest run as a .NET staffer. There may have been one other. It was close. But he took a swing, and it wasn't even that he missed. I think he just decided, I'm going to stick to this. I'm going to stick to just being a .NET member and enjoying the site that way. And he still harasses me once in a while. Like, he's ready to come back. And then if you call him on and say, all right, let's do it, Rambus, I don't know. But it's always good to hear from him. Good dude. On to 773. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Boris from Chicago.
What's going on tonight, Boris?
Man, where do I start? But I just want to, first I want to hit off that I'm enjoying my New Japan World Network.
I've heard you mention that on other shows.
Yes, and I'm following the story. And, man, so it really makes me look at this WWE harder now. You know what I'm saying? Simply because I found a way to get access with my little translation. And it made me feel more confident with the product staying around, because before this whole Wrestle Kingdom, I was really down on the product, and I really it just felt like the product was just really in a bad state until Wrestle Kingdom 9. But let me just, because I know you got a lot of callers, and we'll just continue this all week. When they finally tussled Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, all I could think about is, oh my God, this dude really doesn't have anything to bring to the table, because Daniel Bryan faced Triple H to Randy Orton in the main event, and to see him tussle with Roman Reigns needs a little more time, needs a lot more time, because he doesn't really have nothing to bring to the table. And they can try to make it look like he does, but I think on the big stage, nobody going to be able to make this guy look like nothing. He is the broom. Real bad. That's
well, you know what? Okay, man, cool, Boris. I appreciate the call. Let's see. And I'm not going to come out of Sunday. It's kind of a, I don't want to say a no-win situation for Reigns, because he can win some people over. The most jaded of the Roman Reigns haters know they're going to, no matter what happens, all the credit will go to Daniel Bryan. I mean, I can pretty much guarantee that. The most you might get is, at least he didn't screw up. But let's see how he does. Maybe he does screw up. Maybe it's horrible. Maybe he goes out there and Bryan does carry him to a passable match. And even if that happens, that's Daniel Bryan's job here. And they're in the business, maybe potentially, of getting Roman Reigns over. And so even the jaded fans may not buy into it, but it doesn't mean the casual viewer out there isn't going, wow, this Reigns guy is great. And we saw with some of the brawling tonight. Sting made a TNA career out of shortcut matches. And I think if you caught him in an honest moment, he would admit that. I don't know if he'd say it publicly, but he certainly has talked about it with his now former peers in TNA, openly thanking them for carrying him, and he was admitting that he was forgetful with spots and things of that nature. But you can take some shortcuts, and we'll see what they do. Is there a lot of brawling like we saw tonight? I think being in there with Daniel Bryan is obviously a good thing for Roman Reigns. So let's see how it goes. I'm trying to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I'm just trying to go in with an open mind. It doesn't mean I'm going to come out of this thing convinced going, yes, he's ready for Mania. But I want to, you know, this will give us some indication of where he's at as far as his ability is concerned. It's really the first big match outside of Royal Rumbles and six-man tags that he's been in. So, you know, let's let it play out on Sunday, and we'll certainly revisit it on Monday night. I think when we do this show again. And by the way, in addition to live coverage of the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view on Sunday night, available to everyone at ProWrestling.net, I will be by after the show with my audio review of that particular pay-per-view event. So if you want to know my thoughts on all of that, again, sign up for .net membership. Membership details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Look for the sign-up area. All right, up next is 352. Who are you? Where are you calling from? 352, are you there? I hear a little bit of clicking. 352, I'll put you back on hold. We'll try to come back to you. Let me circle you right now on my little sheet here so I can remember to try to go back to 352. 352, if you're hearing this, I just couldn't hear anything you were saying. So try to get that straight. I'll come back to you after the next call. But up next is 305. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, DJ from Miami?
Hey, DJ, what's up?
I got two things and a comment. My first comment is, the first thing is, on the network, how come they're still pimping out CM Punk's, what's called Beyond the Ring? I thought, like, you know, all this controversy, but isn't it every time they pimp that out, doesn't he get a piece of it? Because I know that, you know, somebody's going to watch it and they're going to want to buy his merchandise, and of course he gets a piece of that. That's my comment.
Okay, the deal with the Punk, yeah, let me get to that one first. This is an easy one. He's not going to make anything off the network airing of it. DVD sale, yes, he's going to get royalties off. Merchandise, yes, he's going to get royalties from that, but they also get their cut. And with the royalties, my understanding is, like, the agreement they made was, like, I think he touched on this during the one of the Colt Cabana podcasts, basically any of the merchandise that was already made. It's not like they're going to be printing a bunch of CM Punk T-shirts and trying to continue to sell those. They just already had a bunch made, so it was like, why wouldn't they want to sell them, and why wouldn't he want to make some extra money?
Right. But isn't it kind of weird that he is on, they keep on putting it on the, rotation?
The movie itself?
Yeah, the Beyond the Ring. I think he has another one. But I know I saw just the other day, I saw the Beyond the Ring with CM Punk.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's what's done is done. He's an interesting name. I think WWE fans are certainly interested. I mean, we see things like with the unfortunate situation with Darren Young and his tweets being removed and all of that. There's still certain areas they won't go. But when it comes to some of the – there are examples of, like, old WWE, I think, something like Punk – wiping from the network, damn it, that kind of thing. I don't think we see that as much anymore. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that, if it were kind of the old mentality, would never have been on the network in the first place, which is different guys they've had issues with. So I actually applaud them for just, okay, hey, it's on there, and it was a well-produced documentary. We own it. We know what he says on there, so why not continue to play it?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. My next thing was, like, about the tweets. Now, do you think this Cesaro thing was real fake? I mean, this guy, they say the guy speaks seven languages. And what, his password's 1234? Come on, you know what I'm saying? I mean, all those things he was saying was right, kind of, you know?
Well, okay, I do think that it must have been legit is my guess. I haven't done a lot of investigating into this because my first thought this morning on my way to the gym was, maybe it's a work. And then I saw the tweeter was saying he hopes Vince dies of cancer. I mean, there was some language in there where it's like, okay, this isn't something WWE would put out there. This is, there's some stuff in there they wouldn't want to claim later. And so I'm guessing, yeah, someone got a hold of his information and went ahead and wrote what they did. And I guess WWE got a little free but weird publicity out of it because it trended on Twitter for whatever that's worth.
I sure, sure. Let me ask you one more thing real quick about that, and then I got one more thing. Do you think, I don't know, because nobody's ever asked this, do you think they can hack into the network and close it just like they did, like, Sony PlayStations?
Oh, you know, nothing would surprise me anymore when it comes to this sort of thing. I mean, there's major insurance companies and things like that. Believe me, I'm hearing all about it from my girlfriend because she's in an uproar about it. And so,
yeah.
Never say never on something like that. I mean, I think they've been hacked in other areas before, and not just on Twitter, but I think in other areas. So I'd hate to see it, but yeah, I mean, probably, but hey, I'm sure they're doing everything they can, or hopefully they're doing everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I got one more thing. The Wired Bear thing. Now, this is crazy to me, but yesterday on Divas, he was such a nice, sweet guy, and he's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then now, you know, he's going to Fastlane, and a day later, it's like, okay, you're trying to be a heel, but you're super sweet and nice. Like, I don't know if that they did, you know, they shouldn't have put that this week, or, you know what I mean? I don't know. That was kind of
so
strange.
Was Wade Barrett doing something nice on Total Divas, basically?
Yeah, what's her name? They broke up and whatever, and she wanted to talk to him. He was so nice and sweet. He's like, you can come to me anything, blah, 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 and we're best friends. You know, I'm such a nice guy. And, like, that right there, just like, oh, my God, you know what I'm saying? And he's going in the fast lane being this heel. Like, that was terrible. You know, that was just, I don't know.
Well, okay, thank you for calling. What happens on Total Divas, I guess in their mind, kind of stays on Total Divas. They might show you a clip from Raw, but it doesn't always play into what you're seeing on the actual Raw and SmackDown television shows. I wish they were better with it, but I have less of a problem with that than I do Big Show doing his PSA last week. You know, he's a heel on the show, but then on the same show, he's telling you don't be a bully. It's baffling. I wish they were more consistent with the even the Total Divas stuff, but they're just making up their own rules as they go along, I guess. 862, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, Jason. This is Patrick from Nutley, New Jersey. How are you?
Hey, I'm very good tonight. Nice to hear from you.
I have a point and a question to make. Actually, two quick questions. One, did you hear where they're rescheduling SummerSlam because it's not going to be at the IZOD? Did they figure out where they're going to reschedule it since the IZOD is not available anymore?
Yeah, someone told me as of last week, I believe it was still up in the air, or they at least weren't saying publicly still. So that was the last I heard on that was kind of someone told someone who told me that it was up in the air. So I don't have anything official on that, but just pretty good, pretty good chain here as far as, where it came from. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, and also two other points, and one referencing what you just said about the Big Show, just for conflicting messages. First, at WrestleMania, is there any chance they may do like a Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins, or do you think that's going to be Seth Rollins, Randy Orton? Because I figured if they were to do like a Ziggler versus Rollins for the Money in the Bank briefcase, it could even create a little more intrigue as to what's going to happen at WrestleMania as opposed to what everyone thinks will happen. As far as the main event championship, I thought anytime they can kind of sprinkle Ziggler, even if we all know it's not really going to happen, it at least gives more interest to the event.
I don't know. Ziggler could be the odd guy out, you know, if they go with a triple threat, or even if, like, Daniel Bryan's reached a point where he's not in the main event, but they have something else in mind for him. That was something that it seemed like they toyed with for a little bit. I don't want to see them go back to Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler. I wasn't even crazy about the idea on paper just because I didn't trust them to give us a real storyline more than, hey, it's what the internet wants. Let's go out there and steal the show. I want more than that. And so my guess is that Seth Rollins does end up working a match against Randy Orton. That's just my guess. I keep waiting for Orton to return. I mean, he's working the house shows. We know he's good to go. It's just that I guess maybe they're waiting until after the pay-per-view now, kind of on the road to WrestleMania, which isn't a bad idea. We'll see how it's executed, but I kind of give them some credit for showing some patience with that, if that's the idea. They're not always known for showing patience or exhibiting patience, so there's that. Sheamus is out there, as Johnny just pointed out in the forum. He could be Daniel Bryan's dance partner if he's not in the main event. That match was on at one point, then it was off, kind of like it is every year at WrestleMania, it seems. Whether it's going, you know, some years we get it and it lasts, you know, a matter of seconds. Other years it gets bumped to the undercard. Last year we were going to get it, and then Daniel Bryan was moved to the main event. So God only knows with that one. But Ziggler, I'm kind of wondering here, Patrick, do you think they're keeping that weird relationship with Ryback and Eric Rowan alive so they can do some sort of a six-man tag or something like that at the pay-per-view? Or at WrestleMania, I should say.
Honestly, I just think what the WWE has been very good at the last several years, and it's more so the who's rumored to be in the area, you know, like Batista several years ago, or Lesnar was rumored to be at WrestleMania. They always leave some intrigue where you think something could happen, even though you realize it's not going to happen at WrestleMania. And I just thought this kind of plays into the way they usually do their storylines, where you know it's like a 1 in a million chance of something actually happening, but they at least give you something to talk about to lead into the event. That was the whole point I was saying, just to give the intrigue that maybe it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go, kind of like they did with the Royal Rumble. Maybe it's not going to be Roman Reigns winning when we all kind of figured it was. I just thought the WWE is pretty good with that, to at least build up the intrigue, even if they go ahead with the way they plan things. That was the point I was trying to make with these. They go, I don't think they're ever going to really put the jetpack on him and let him go with them. I just thought that they could kind of have their way with the fans and drive up some more subscribers just to build up an extra storyline going in that maybe he can walk out. That was the point I was making. I didn't think they'd actually let him walk out with it. I just thought that'd be a nice way to kind of build him up and put him in the conversation without actually having to put him into a match, so to speak, that of significance in that regard.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, how do you get to that? Give me your, try to make it quick, we do have other callers, but I mean, give me your best scenario.
Well, A to Z is basically what I would do with Rollins is I'd have the authority just get really pissed at him, for lack of a better word. Like, he just keeps putting, like, the whole concept with Rollins we've seen on TV week in and week out is he keeps on talking everyone into a corner and creating more problems than not with his mouth. And I could see them getting just frustrated with him, or Triple H getting frustrated and say, you know what, you got to do this one on your own. Put him in a match against Ziggler. Just at WrestleMania, kind of like, you know, kind of like taking out his own frustration on him. You know, that's basically how they do things. You know what I mean? You know, Coward always takes blame and shifts it to somebody else. Rollins keeps putting everyone in the tough situation. He did the storyline with Triple H and Orton where they kept saying Rollins' big mouth kept getting them in trouble. And that's where I could see them doing something like that. And also off, you know, off the periphery of the casual fan is, you know, the internet fans would always say, well, maybe they're retaliating against him because of the leaked photos. You know, that's why I'm saying I could see them doing something like that. But the A to Z is basically Rollins shoots his mouth off, which he's done. You know, he does it great as a heel. He shoots his mouth off. He offends Triple H. Triple H loses his match to Sting, or not loses his match to Sting, loses his temper to Sting, gets shown up, and Rollins passes a stupid remark, and then Triple H and Stephanie book him the match with the Money in the Bank on the line, kind of get back at him for opening his mouth when he shouldn't have. That's kind of how I see that being able to be played out. Just kind of we're fed up with the way you talk, and all you do is create problems for us. That's how I would set him up in that match. That's like a rough draft, but that's a basic way to book him. Because he is known, that is his heel tendency. He opens his mouth and he says the wrong thing, and everyone else is always bailing him out of trouble, whether Mercury or Noble. This would be kind of his way of being thrown in there with nobody there to help you. You have to do this on your own.
Okay. Wow, you threw a lot at me there, but I long story short, I hope not. I mean, what you're saying, yes, there's a way to get to it. And maybe they get they create a little more interest and there's a little more mystery about the WWE Championship. But quite frankly, I feel like there's enough. You know, I mean, I guess we'll see what the match is at coming out of Sunday, obviously. We'll know if it's a triple threat. We'll know if it's a singles match. And then there is the Money in the Bank at large. I think that's enough, especially when you've had the Royal Rumble is not the, you know, it's not the winner because he's stupid and he gave up his title shot. Now he's not stupid according to him, but he really does look stupid. I guess I just leave it alone at this point, and I come up with something else for Dolph Ziggler to do on that show, because I think if you listen to the people by and large cheering Dolph Ziggler the most passionately, I would say are also the most likely to order WrestleMania.
Oh, I agree with you, but here was the one question I really had to ask you, because it had to do with the Big Show, but it's and you're saying the conflicting message about the PSA announcement with Big Show and he's playing a heel. It was more in regards to the Super Bowl and just your take on this. The NFL comes down on Ray Rice for the violence against women, and then NBC does too, and then they air a commercial for that show, The Slap, right when you're doing the announcement. And I didn't really hear any major media catch on with this. I don't know if you ever said anything about it, but when you talk about conflicting messages, I looked and I said there's a billion people watching the Super Bowl at one point, and this is what they're airing after they're saying where, you know, speak against violence. And I said, isn't this like the most conflicting message? And I want to get off topic, but that's what I wanted to bring up to you, because you were saying about like whenever the WWE has the heels wear the pink shirts for breast cancer awareness, where the heels do this, it's like, wait, the NFL says they're against this, but they're airing a commercial of somebody smacking a kid, and they're like, we're anti-violence. Does anyone even think to coordinate this? That was the point I wanted to make. Yeah, I know you sometimes touch on those other topics. That was the main point I actually called you for in the first place.
All right, cool, Patrick. I appreciate it. Before I get to that, let me just tell people we had a couple people drop off, 352. I'm going to try to go back to you next. We'll see if we can get you on. But if you want to call in, now's a great time, 773-897-6321. We had a couple of people lined up that should have carried us through the rest of the show, but they have disappeared. So if you want to get in, now is the time, 773-897-6321. He brought up the Slap and that television show. And, okay, I mean, I know what he's saying. It looks odd to base a show around violence when you're doing all the anti-violence and all of that. But yeah, I watched the first episode. How could you not? I'm sorry. I just couldn't help myself. It's Spock. It's new Spock, and he's slapping a child. I watched it for all the wrong reasons because I'm a horrible person. It's simulated, folks. It's okay. But it's the message isn't tune in every week to watch a kid get slapped. It's not that. It's all the, you know what. It's all these people are gathered at this party, and there's all this, you know, soap opera style drama going on. You have the guy who's having his 40th birthday party is apparently secretly hosing the babysitter on the side. So you have that. And then, by the way, any ladies listening to this, my advice to all of you: always drive the babysitter home yourself. Don't rely on the man to do it. It's just a recipe for disaster. We've seen this storyline a million times, and it must be based on some level of reality. So if you, I mean, either hire a really ugly babysitter or just drive her home. Or at least, you know, hey, if you have like an older kid that's there, okay, you know, they're sleeping, and the older, as long as the older kid's there for the 10 minutes it'll take to drive the babysitter home, ride with. I don't think, if you're getting a sitter, you probably shouldn't have the kids unattended. So just, you know what, you let the husband stay home. He's lazy. He wants to, unless he wants to, you know, try to score with the babysitter. So if he puts up any protest, you know you have a cheater. But anyway, as for the slap, it really wasn't about, you know, just the kid getting slapped. It was all the consequences that come out of it and the story that develops because of it. So I know what you're saying, but, I mean, it wasn't like, it's odd that it's named The Slap. I mean, what a weird concept for a show, but a pretty all-star cast in some ways for network television. They have some heavy hitters there, so they must have a concept that these people bought into. Let's let it play out. I would have named it something different, but I guess it obviously got attention enough that I paid attention to it for 1 week, if only that. Kind of want to see what happens with him and the babysitter, by the way. Does that make me a bad person? I would have called it, like, Scoring with the Babysitter. I would have been more likely to watch than the slap. But that little kid, what a prick. My God. I'm not condoning. I'm not saying. I don't have children. Probably a good thing if you're listening to this and you're going, yeah, Jesus, keep this guy away from the kids. But no, I seriously, what a little brat. I'm not saying he deserved to be slapped, but they set it up in a good way, so it's not like he's this innocent child. How could he? The kid's throwing fits. The kid, I don't know how old he was, but he was still breastfeeding, for God's sake. This is not some little innocent child. He probably didn't deserve to be slapped. But since it's television, I'll admit, it's a small part of me that enjoyed it. Good acting. All right, now that I've completely ruined some of you forever with my horrible viewpoints on the slap and guys hooking up with the babysitter, let's try going back to 352. 352, are you there? 352 going once. 352 is hooking up with his babysitter as we speak. And cannot get to the phone. 352, I give up, man. I don't know if you want to try calling back in. If I see it pop up again, then I'll know that you're at least making an effort and you're not just sitting there listening and doing things with your babysitter. 862, who are you? Where are you calling from? 862, are you there?
Jason, it's Patrick again. You never disconnected me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, then, you know what? Any follow-up to what I said on the slap, I'll give you that opportunity because I went all over the place with that one.
No, I think you covered it enough, but I know what you're saying. I was just saying, I just thought it's a mixed message when you show an ad for that, even though I know there's supposed to be a purpose. So I thought there's a mixed message when you're posting public service announcements about anti-violence and domestic abuse, and then you show that commercial right after you're doing the commercial. That was the whole point I was trying to make on that. And it's not about the show itself. It was just about putting that commercial after a PSA is being done by like half of the NFL and NBC, and then NBC airs a commercial for that. That was the only point I was trying to make. It's not about what the show is actually about, just like the image that was sent. And same way you said image with the WWE was my point on that. So that was the only reason I was asking that. So I guess you can move on to the next person.
All right, well, very cool. Now, good point. I mean, it is, when you really think about it, like, bad timing on NBC's part to air that, if that's the case. I guess I didn't even catch that. I had a few beers myself on Super Bowl Sunday, as my Twitter followers may know. Speaking of which, follow me online, @ProWrestlingNet. Leave the dot out of that one, @ProWrestlingNet. I'll send out the call, the number one more time here. It's now or never, folks. I'll wrap this bad boy up in a second if nobody else calls in. 773-897-6321. Man, we had a lot of calls tonight, but we plowed through them pretty quickly. Then we had some people drop off. But if you want to get on the show, last chance to do so. 773-897-6321. Don't forget that I will be on the PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com every Tuesday, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. I join Wade Keller, and hopefully we will have the little sound issue we've been having resolved tomorrow. I thought I was going to have, like, new and improved sound for you guys tonight. And I, like, log into Blog Talk before the show and plug in my new trusty headset, and I'm all ready to go. Yeah, it wasn't recognizing my trusty new headset. I don't know what the deal is, but Keller has experience with Blog Talk, and hopefully he's got a headset similar, and he can tell me what the F was going on there. But he'll have to coach me through tomorrow. Assuming we don't have our usual 15-second production meeting before the show, we might actually have to get together, you know, 2 minutes before the show. A lot of production work goes into the live cast, kind of like this show. When we have a guest, or .NET Weekly. Hey, here's the set list. Did I miss anything? Nope. Cool. Let's do it. Let's try to go back to the phone lines here. I don't know if this is Boris or if we have another 773. Who are you? Who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Boris. Since you plowed to the callers, I thought I'd just chime back in.
All right. Make it quick, because I do have one other caller that's called
in. Okay. I was thinking, what if Rusev beat John Cena because of this really bad move they decide to do on Monday on Raw, and then to follow up, they bring like the real popular guy in NXT up. Man, would that be something? I can't think of his name. He's just like Daniel Bryan with the red beard.
Sami Zayn.
Yes. Can you imagine if you know he just takes out John Cena, and then a follow up. Rusev come out and Lana do their thing, and then Sami Zayn just come out. The crowd would just, man, that would just be nice.
Well, I mean, it's a different idea. WrestleMania may not be the place for that, to try to introduce him that quickly before Mania. I mean, there's probably a way to do it. I don't know that I trust WWE to do it, but I think that would be an interesting way. You know, the caller mentioned earlier putting the title on Cena to give the U.S. title credibility, and I don't think that would work. I don't, because I just don't think they want Cena with that title. I think it would come off him quickly. If he talked about it every week in glowing terms, I think his fans would still be like, why aren't you going after the bigger title? But Rusev, I think, adds some credibility. But a guy like Sami Zayn, or Sami Zayn himself, targeting the U.S. championship, going on, rather than getting the 1-2-3 kid Razor Ramon like win early. I mean, there's different ways to do this, but he goes on a quest to get that championship, and that's all he wants is that championship. That's his goal. That's, you know, and he can do the world championship later, but I mean that's the quest. That's the title he's after. That's going to help get that championship or the Intercontinental Championship over. When the guy chasing that title cares about it so much, and the guy who holds the title cares about it. That's how you get it over. It's not a bunch of non-title losses on Raw that mean nothing. Now all of a sudden we got people lining up here. 203, I'm going to limit you guys to one question each because now all of a sudden we have three callers. But 203, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. It's Lewis from Connecticut.
Hey, Lewis from Connecticut. What can I do for you?
Hey, man. Question for you. What do you think it's going to take for the WWE to start treating the Divas like they're actually worth something?
Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn both stepping aside. I mean, I hate to feel that way, but seeing is believing on this. You know, I mean, I just see what it's like at NXT. It really, someone getting through to them, someone getting through to Vince McMahon and making him realize that, you know, there's money in female wrestlers and females in general. I mean, Ronda Rousey doing great things for UFC, and look at the success that they're having in NXT with these women. That's the frustrating part for me. If you haven't done so, check out the Triple H conference call. He did it before the NXT TakeOver show, and I asked him about that, the difference between WWE Divas and the women's division in NXT, and he did kind of chalk up some of it to just different visions, and read between the lines, he and Vince McMahon see things differently there. So, really, I think it comes down to Vince. And he's, you know, I mean, I commented on tonight in my review, the WWE Divas have, like, eighth-grade girl problems. They're stealing gear, and they're dealing with mean girls, and they're portrayed as athletes in NXT. I mean, Bayley is a unique character, and one that I think would work extremely well on the main roster. I'm looking forward to that. But really, I mean, by and large, and even Bayley, she can go. You know, I mean, they're given time to go out there and have great matches. And maybe they don't steal the show, but they sure as hell contribute to that, those last three matches on the show that we always seem to be raving about. So I would say that's your biggest, your best bet is someone gets through to Vince McMahon, that whether it's Charlotte catches his eye in terms of, hey, we can build around her, or someone just gets through to him and makes him realize that the approach you're using isn't working.
Yeah, man, I feel really bad. They give them, like, 3 minutes a show, and I really wish there was, like I don't know, in a way, like, there was, like, a feminist, like, movement for, like, somebody so, like, they could, like, get on the WWE for, like, kind of the way they treat the girls compared to the way they treat the guys. I mean, like, it's just sad.
It's ridiculous. You have 3 hours of Raw to fill, and you know Triple H talked about that in the conference call as well, which is available. If you're hearing this again, you can hear this as well on if you download our podcast. It's there. It's on the All Access side of things. The Triple H conference call would have been from, February 10th, I believe it was. So go ahead and search for that when you're done listening to this show. And you can check that out if you haven't done so already. But 3 hours to fill on Raw. They struggle with it. And yet they have two-minute diva matches. And it's not a case of, well, when so-and-so gets called up. I mean, as good as Charlotte is, now it may be, like I say, Charlotte, all of a sudden Vince sees money in Charlotte. Okay, then it's a case of maybe so-and-so gets called up, but it's changing the division around that person. I just think a wholesale change in the approach to the divas. I'd drop the god-awful diva's name. I'd just make them athletes and just really change the vision for this. I do think there's definitely money in these WWE divas, but it's not, you know, yeah, there's the ones that are there for total divas, and we know who they are, but there's also Natalya, there's Paige, there's Emma, for God's sake, who was on, I think it was the first live special and had a very good match as well. I mean, it's not like it's just a bunch of women who can't work on the main roster. It's just the way Vince McMahon's vision for that division works. Too much vision, division.
Yeah, man, like,
all right.
Like, if I had a daughter, like, I wouldn't want her to watch the Divas fight, because I wouldn't want her to, I mean, to think that way, to see, like, this is what girls act like, this is what a girl's supposed to be. Like, I think you should, like, try and be, like, a woman, not this little girl who's, like you said, is in eighth grade fighting for whatever.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, I think they're, you know, they always talk about wanting to expand into different demographics, and they've done so a little bit with Total Divas, but I just would love to hear from some of the women that got into WWE because they saw Total Divas. Maybe it was something their husband or boyfriend watched and they really didn't care about it. Not that there's not women, you know, female WWE fans, but those who did see Total Divas, whether it was no one in, you know, around them had interest in wrestling, or somebody did and they knew about it in passing and happened to catch Total Divas and got hooked that way and then thought, well, I'm going to try watching this WWE Raw product or SmackDown. I mean, what must they be thinking? It's just whatever Total Divas is, it's better than the Divas division. You know, I mean, it's not for everyone. It's reality television and all that, but it's still, I mean, at least the women are the stars of that show. Sometimes portrayed in a positive manner, other times not so much, but at least they mean something. And then those same women, you get them on WWE television, and well, they're having a 2.5-minute throwaway match that no one cares about.
Well, that was it, Jason. I totally agree with what you said. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. And we had the other two callers drop off. So let's call this a night, everybody. Thank you, everybody who took that. You know, I'm usually in a rush here at the end of the show, trying to get the thank yous in and all that good stuff before we go off the air. So I do want to say a big thank you to everybody who hangs out in the chat room, who calls into the show and gets on the line and chats with me, and also everybody who's just in listen mode, whether you listen live or you listen after the fact. I really appreciate it. I have fun doing this show, and we'll continue to do it, of course, through the night after WrestleMania 31, or WrestleMania with the play button, as WWE apparently would rather it be known. I don't know why they don't call it 31 anymore, but it's their event. They can do what they want. But, no, I really do appreciate everybody. This year has been, this season, as we like to call it, has been very successful thus far. And definitely listenership is up. Spread the word. I tweet about the show on Mondays, of course, going in. And if you can help us out with a retweet to kind of help spread the word about the show, I would definitely appreciate it. And you can like us on iTunes and all that good stuff. There's wherever you hear the show, if there's the star ratings, we'd certainly appreciate the best star ratings available, but we'll take whatever you think is fair and leave some comments, pro and con, but help spread the word about this show. And you never know, maybe we won't continue to do Monday nights, but once WrestleMania season comes and goes, maybe it'll be a different day of the week or something like that. Maybe we can keep the party going. But again, it's ProWrestling.net Live on at 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern, Monday nights from now until the night after WrestleMania 31. Join me on Sunday for live coverage of the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view. It should be very interesting to see what the hell the plan is for WrestleMania. Let's see if they stick with their current theme of just basically screwing everyone on their main event stipulations. Going back to Survivor Series, where 5 weeks later, the Authority was back in power. TLC, John Cena to fight to keep number one contendership, and then Seth Rollins gets added to the match anyway. Royal Rumble, the outcome doesn't matter, the Rumble match, because Roman Reigns is giving it up because he's a goof. They did try to cover that tonight, but it was like, where was this a couple weeks ago? Wow, you're just scrambling at this point to try to have Roman Reigns. Oh, yeah, I knew. I'm not an idiot, even though they called him an idiot now for the last week or two. But it should be an interesting show. Again, .NET members are going to have exclusive access to my audio review of that show coming up on Sunday night, along with the .NET Weekly audio show that John Moore and I will be doing together Thursday at some point. That will be available on, yeah, like I say, Thursday afternoon to .NET members, along with the .NET Countdown show. And you never know what all-access podcast material is going to pop up on this side of things. But if you're interested in membership, one more time, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net, look for that sign-up area, and for as little as $5.50 a month, if you take our annual option, you can score all the perks of membership at that reduced low price. And if you just want to try us out for 1 month, $7.50. There's also a price break at 6 months, too. I rarely plug that one, but it is available. So if you want to save yourself a little money, you can do so by committing to a little bit longer. And coming up tomorrow, Will Pruitt will not be by with his pause review, most likely. Will's busy with some real-life things, but I will be by with my WWE Raw hit list and whatever else is going on. We'll see what those WWE Raw ratings are like. And by the way, if maybe you don't want to admit it publicly, but I know Fritz is one of them. I'm going to out him on this. He's watching the Oscars live. He's not watching Fastlane. If you're one of those guys that either the wife is making you or you choose to, Fritz is choosing to. He's that into the Oscars. And I have a feeling there's going to be several people like that. Follow along with my live coverage on Sunday night. I'll get you through it. That way you don't have to stay up too late. And you can get the live coverage and commentary at ProWrestling.net. All right, everybody, thank you again for listening. It's been a lot of fun, and I will talk to you again next week. Until then, take care.